Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, Sarah Parrish is going to show you that you can make money doing what you love. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Sarah Parrish. Now, Sarah is from Springfield, Missouri, and she is a personal trainer, but it's her passion that I really want her to share with you today, because I think that it could change some people's lives. So, Sarah, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the show, and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynette. I've been looking forward to this.
I know, me too. I really have. Now, we kicked the show off with a quote. Did you bring one that's meaningful to you?
Do what you love and the money will follow.
Okay. I like that. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Tell me how you connect to that.
My passion that I found for fitness and wanting to help others through fitness, I love it. And I found that I can research it. I can study it. I can share it. I can witness it. I can experience it. And in some form or way, it's going to translate into a living for me.
And I know that you have a passion for fitness, and you take that. And what is it that you do in your spare time that I'm sure being fit helps you with?
I do a lot of cycling, mountain biking, road cycling, mostly mountain biking. I do ice hockey, which is my favorite. I do running, kayaking, paddleboarding, a lot of hiking. Gosh, just about any activity you can do outside, I love to do.
Okay. Well, you know what? Can we stick with one of those passions today?
You bet.
Let's talk about hockey.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I know that your boyfriend is Jamie J, who I've had on the show and talked about on the show multiple times. He has a podcast, Riding the Pine, and he's one of the podcast professors. And I saw pictures of you, Sarah, and got in touch with Jamie and said, I need Sarah on the show. Why? Because Sarah is out there on the ice playing hockey like a boss with the guys.
Okay.
That's what I saw.
I think that's great. You just keep thinking that.
You are. I mean, seriously, tell us how your passion for hockey started.
You know, when I lived in Dallas, I followed the Dallas Stars, and I was very interested in hockey, but I never got really involved in it. I watched it and enjoyed the entertainment aspect of it. Then I had my daughter, and she came home from preschool. Yeah, pre-K with a Parks and Recreation pamphlet and said, Mom, I want to play hockey. And she was 5 years old. I said, okay, how do we do it? And she turned to the page and pointed to the rink, and I said, okay, let's find out how to do this. So we went down to the rink, and I signed her up for learn to skate, learn to play hockey. And I took her to about five or six of these sessions, and the director of hockey was a very nice man, Al. And he says, say, Mom, do you want to play hockey too? And I looked at him. I was like, right. He says, no, I have more adults that learn with the kids. He said, come on out. I've got all the equipment you need. Rent some skates. Let's do this. And that's how it all started.
What was it like for you when you first started?
Pretty terrifying. The ice hurts when you fall. It really hurts.
Yeah.
And we had all these pads on, you know, and I'm out there with my, you know, the typical ice skater with your ankles are all bent in. And, you know, I'm just trying to stay upright. But it was really exhilarating. I mean, it was like, this is neat. It was really neat. Even though I wasn't any good, it was fun.
And so did you have any hesitations or challenges getting started with that? I mean, let's look at who's on the teams that you're playing.
Oh, absolutely not. I went through the whole program. There were some levels of learn to play hockey. And then a couple of the girls that played adult hockey said, hey, Sarah, do you want to play? I'll draft you. You can be on my team. I was like, sure. And that was super exciting for me. Wow, I get to play now, not just skate around cones and, you know, listen to what the coaches tell you to do. But I got to actually play. And it was the most exhilarating, amazing experience and the most humbling experience as well.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I'm sure sometimes you just get stuffed.
I was terrible. I was terrible. I didn't know how to play hockey. Hit the puck with your stick. Okay, that's a lot easier said than done.
Now, is it? Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I had 4 surgeries on my Achilles tendon, so I'm not sure I could even ice skate at this point. Although I probably could, because I am getting back into being more physical, and I probably could, but I haven't for a very long time. Now, when you play, is it all women? Are you on, is there a women's league?
There's no, Springfield's a pretty small market for hockey. So it's, we have, there's about 11, maybe 13 women that play in the league total. I am on one team right now that we have 4 girls on, and that's a lot for a team. And I travel sometimes with a team out of Little Rock, and we put together girls from Memphis and Little Rock and Springfield and some from St. Louis, and we'll travel and play in some women's tournaments, but not too many, but it's a lot of fun.
See, now this is the one thing that I want my listeners to really grasp. I want them to see how incorporating hockey into your life changed your life, expanded your life. I mean, now next thing you know, you're on the road with other women playing hockey in other states. That's just one of the things. But can you tell us, how has it changed your life?
Oh my gosh. The people I've met, the friends that I now have, the experiences I've had. I think probably the best experience I have is when you go as a team and you play in a tournament and everybody stay in the same hotel and everybody goes out after the game together and we get breakfast together and we go to the games together and we have fun at the games and you know, it's hanging out in the locker room and it's an amazing experience. And you meet all these people out of town. We go to Wichita and Kansas City and Little Rock and St. Louis and Oklahoma City. And just, it's amazing the people you meet and how it expands your connections for the rest of your life, your professional life and your personal life.
I know that just really sounds amazing to me. And on top of that, I know I've seen pictures of you guys even just going as spectators to other big events, which is probably a lot of fun too.
It's amazing. We go and watch the St. Louis Blues play a lot. And from our connections from playing in this Blues alumni tournament we play in the summer, we get to go and be in the alumni booth, the suite at the games and hang out with some alumni players and watch the game with them and get their input from them. And it's just amazing. You're just what you learn and the experience. If you're into hockey, if you're into any sport, if you're getting to hang out with professionals in that sport, it's pretty darn cool. You can't wipe the smile off. I'm grinning from ear to ear when I'm on the ice or if I'm doing anything that has to do with hockey. I am just grinning from ear to ear. Watching my daughter play to watching kids just come into the rink that are getting ready to play and they're all excited. I mean, it's an amazing experience. It's really neat.
And that's something I was going to ask you is if your daughter still played.
She does. She doesn't travel any longer. She's more into academics now, but she still plays on a house league and she plays on Wednesday and Saturdays and that's enough.
And how old is she now?
She just turned 14.
So, I mean, she's been playing for 9 years.
She's been playing a long time. She's a pretty good little skater.
Oh, that's awesome. And also, tell everybody else what you got out of hockey.
Oh, let's see. I was in the face-off circle, and there was this guy, I don't know, next to me, and he was on the opposing wing, and I don't know, I gave him a nudge, and I'm pretty chatty, and I joke around a lot when I'm in the face-off circle. I kind of took him back, and I don't think he knew what to do when I was joking with him, and I just kind of remembered him until the fall league, and then they said, our team will be a lot better when Jamie gets back from Seattle. I'm like, who's Jamie? Who is this Jamie guy? So he finally shows up. I'm like, that Jamie. So then I started stalking him. And the next thing you know, we're dating. So.
And that's been a long time now, right?
It has. Our first date was January 18th, 2013, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have been together for a long time. And I know he absolutely adores you. I could tell because he posts pictures and says you're the best woman in the world.
Yeah. He's a pretty amazing guy.
And that's awesome. What do you think you've learned about yourself through this?
You know, I've learned some bad things, like my insecurities. I didn't realize how insecure I was. I've learned also that to trust people. I know these sound really, really like really deep thoughts.
No, well, it should be deep because it's what you learned about yourself. I love it. And thank you so much for sharing. And I'm not surprised that trust and self-doubts, you know, are together here. I mean, it's common. One would cause the other, I think.
Patience. When I finally got through the whole hockey experience of being when you first start playing, every game is like the Stanley Cup. It's, and it becomes comical as you grow out of that. Right. But if you start as an adult, that's what it's like, win at all costs. And it's just crazy how mad guys get. They break sticks and they beat sticks. And I'm like, guy, have fun, smile, skate, you know.
Right.
And you have to learn. I've learned a lot of patience and a lot of forgiveness, I guess. Because it can get pretty nasty on the ice, like really nasty. Like people do mean things that could injure you enough to you would miss work the next day.
Right.
And they're not, it's because they're not thinking, it's because they're so passionate about what they're doing. And you just, it's hard, but I finally learned that, you know, it's all okay, that nobody means to do it. A lot of people, you know, they hold grudges for years and it's just forgive and forget. It's been great for me. I wish everybody could experience this.
I'm sorry to giggle a little bit about that, but I'm giggling because, I mean, that's one of the reasons why people like to watch hockey so much, because it just gets so hot and intense.
Oh, yeah. I've been in a big fight, like the firemen are considered the goon team in Springfield. It's funny. And it's just because a bunch of guys that, you know, have big egos and they don't like to lose. And literally,
I hear your competitive side coming out.
I got in a fight with a guy in front of the net and they cleared the benches coming out. And oh my gosh, it was horrible. The guy and I, we got suspended for games. And, you know, the director of hockey had us calling each other and apologizing. I was like, this is ridiculous. And now, you know, we don't care.
You know, Jamie is so soft-spoken and so sweet. Like, I just have a hard time seeing him in that kind of environment. I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously he gets his game on, but he's just so gentle, isn't he?
He absolutely is. If somebody messes with me, somebody hits me on the ice, it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. But Jamie's like, if they do it twice, he's getting a little upset. If they do it a third time, he goes after him. And I mean, he goes after him. And I'm like, whoa. Like, he'll get kicked out of the game. You know, he'll take a big hit on him. We were in Vegas playing in a league game with his friend. And Jamie had forgot his contacts. He could see close up, but not far away. So we had yellow jerseys on. And the whistle had blown. The buzzer had gone off. The game was over. And this guy had knocked me down. And Jamie's on the bench. And he says to somebody, who's that on the ice? And I guess Rob, his friend, says, that's Sarah. And all of a sudden, I'm on the ice starting to get up and this yellow flash skates past me and just takes this guy out. Boom, he's gone. He just like disappears from my sight. It was pretty funny. And that was Jamie.
I just don't understand where it became okay for these guys to be taking women out on the ice. Now, get it. You're playing hockey. That's different when you're playing and you're, you know, muscling each other. But I mean, is that called for?
You know, some guys, okay, you can toss me around. I don't weigh very much, you know, and the guys are just bigger and they have a wider center of gravity and I bounce off of them. a lot of times they don't even know they've hit me. It's just like to them movement through the game.
Oh, so it's not intentional.
No, sometimes it is. Sometimes right. there's guys are like, they'll trip you or do things that are uncalled for, or they'll follow through, or, you know, they could have avoided you and they didn't. And that's when you kind of take exception. You just kind of have to look at each skater. Is he a new skater? You know, you just blow it off. If it's an older skater, they usually, if they have a habit of it, there's several of them in the league. And after they do it, they always say, I'm sorry. Like, you're sorry every time. So you just, you know.
Sure you are.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I give them an earful after the game in a pleasant way. And it's no big deal. Everybody goes on.
I just love it. I just love, you know, how you have enhanced your life. I mean, that is what this show is really all about. It's people enhancing their lives with something they're passionate about. And obviously, you know, you get such exhilaration from being in the rink and you share it with your daughter, you share it with Jamie. And I just think it's awesome. So do you have a book that you could recommend to my audience or any other kind of resource that could kind of spark people? And if it has to do with something athletic, whatever you think would be helpful to them.
You know what? When I was training for an Ironman back in 2005 and 6, I read this book called Becoming an Ironman. And it was, at first, it was a very walk you through it, how everybody's experience was. And then it came to this point where this girl says, I'm riding. I am at the top of the mountain. And all they're talking about, I remember, was how beautiful the views are. She said, I wanted to take my goddamn bike and throw it off that beautiful view. She was done with it. And it made me laugh so hard. And I just look forward. It eased the rest of the training and just made me look at it in a different way, that instead of it's necessary, I've got to go out and do it. I really looked forward to it because I thought, okay, I can't wait to get to that view. And how am I going to feel? Am I going to feel the same way? So that was probably the most motivating book. It was silly, but probably the most motivating book I've ever read.
Well, and I think she gave you permission to not feel the same way everybody else is feeling and not fake it if you get up there and you're not like, oh, isn't it beautiful? And you're frustrated and tired and want to throw your bike over.
Yeah, yeah, you're done. And then you're thinking, oh my God, I still have to run a marathon. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, how did you do?
I finished with a smile on my face, and that was my goal, and I was happy. I was really happy.
How'd you feel when you were at the top?
I didn't notice of you. And we did the same course twice.
Because I was dragging my legs. No.
I was really frustrated because people were riding really crazy, I guess. I don't know. That's all I remember about that portion of it. Right. I don't remember it being beautiful. I remember being frustrated.
And you were probably just like hyper-focused on what you needed to accomplish. I mean, you could go look at the view from that mountain anytime.
Yeah. I was probably wishing I'd get to the top so I could just go down.
Right. Yeah. That's what I would be wishing. Please, yeah. Downstream.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So this part of the show, we pick up the pace. And because I believe to get people to act, that they need to envision something for themselves first, then explore what it would take, and then execute a plan. So let's say we're talking about getting involved in a new sport, even as an adult. You know, what should they envision for themselves to get their minds going?
I find the most effective way for me is to keep a journal. And I write down everything. I write down how I feel about certain moments. And I write down how that hockey game went, or I'll write down how this interview went and how I feel about it. And I think if you can visualize on paper, write it down, what you're experiencing or what you're expecting, I think you can look at it. You'll see it from a different point of view and maybe some patterns will appear. And I find that's the most helpful for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because, I mean, they could see themselves holding the stick, or they could see themselves in the gear, you know, or they could see themselves at the top of a mountain, whether it was a bike ride, a marathon, you know, whatever it is. Okay, so to explore then.
I think, yeah, you then have to look at what points in the journey to your goal has made you the happiest. I think you have to, you'll see a pattern. What was, what's the most fulfilling to you? What, you know, was it, for me, it's never scoring a goal. It's making a good pass and the other players appreciating my abilities and that I contributed. Because when you start out, you don't contribute. You're in the way. You're like a pylon. So I think if you can look at what was the most fulfilling to you and then try to copy that and use that in your life for other situations. What made you successful in that? You know, and for me, it's been listening to Jamie and just comprehending more than just, I've got to get out on the ice and practice my footwork. And it's taken a lot of work. I've taken a lot of lessons. In fact, I broke my ankle in a lesson and get back out there and just keep going and what that hard work takes and how it's working out for you.
Okay. So then to execute a plan,
I think you have to, again, kind of goes back to the goals, but I think you have to write everything down. You have to look at your big picture goal. Then you have to break it down into smaller segments. And then you have to simplify it down as much as you can. So each day when you look back at your journal, you have a small accomplishment. And a small accomplishment or a big accomplishment is, I think, a fantastic motivational tool. And for me, it is. It's like somebody keeping a food diary. And you start to notice that because you've written down everything that you eat, you stop eating those bad things for you because you don't want to see them in your journal anymore. And pretty soon you've got these, you've made great progress without even realizing you've made this great progress.
Right. And you know, for a lot of people, if they want to get involved in something again, and you know, I believe, like you said, it's been in your life at some point in some way, whether, like, let's say we're talking athletically, whether it's a different sport than you've ever done, but you don't just wake up one day and be competitive and be athletic. You've probably had those juices flowing your whole life. You've already probably, when you were in school, I know I was a competitive swimmer for 10 years of my life, you know, and listening to you, I'm recognizing the competitive juices. I can like feel you tensing up when you're thinking about certain times. And I feel it because I, you know, I consider myself to be a retired athlete as well. And, you know, so to get back into things may take some training and may take some baby steps, like you're saying, those small accomplishments are still accomplishments and moving you in the direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't be where I am without being able to, because of my age now, you know, I'm almost 48. I can't jump back in the way I used to be able to, you know.
You and I are the exact same age.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'll be 48 in April.
Okay, me in June.
All right, so when I see you, we will both be 48.
That's right. We'll be 2 years away from another milestone, I suppose.
Yes, because listeners, I will actually be making a stop in Missouri with Jamie and Sarah. So we're going to get to meet in person, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. We're looking forward to it. We hope you can come down and hang out on the boat. We have the SS Minnow down there, which it's nothing fancy, but it's our favorite place to hang out and be with friends. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely, definitely looking forward to that. So Sarah, what closing advice would you like to leave everybody with?
Really kind of my quote, just do what you love. And if you love it, the money will follow. It's not on its own. It still takes a lot of hard work, but if you do what you love, and I'm sure you love what you're doing, Lynette, helping others and motivating others, you can make a living at it. And I love helping others. And I love seeing people at the gym progress and get better, and oh, their whole attitude changes as they start progressing with their fitness and maybe their weight loss. And that's important to me and makes me want to go to work.
I can hear it in your voice, and I'm experiencing that right now. So, you know, I've just started working out the week after Thanksgiving, 5 days a week, 45 minutes a day, rigorous program. And I'm really proud of myself. I feel so much better, so much stronger. It really took, I'd say, 7 weeks, though, for me to start feeling like I had more energy because I was so tired after working out because, I mean, it just took so much out of me. And I thought, man, I got work to do. I can't feel like this every day. And all of a sudden, at some point during week 7, I was like, hey, you know, I'm not as tired as I was. And week eight, I'm like, I have so much energy now. I feel so much better.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's, and to hear you talk that way, I mean, that's, you would be one of the people that I would be so proud of.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. I definitely would. Yep. I appreciate my trainers so much just because they are everything for me in this process. And they say it's us, but I couldn't do it without them. So
yeah, really. We're there to motivate you and keep you on track.
Yeah, I'm so grateful. So you're a personal trainer. Do you work over Skype or are you just an in-person trainer?
I'm an in-person trainer right now, but getting ready to start with Skype in the near future.
All right. Well, why don't you give us your contact information? And if anybody wants to reach out to you and get more information on that, they can.
Sure. You can reach me on Facebook at EuroFit. It's EuroFit with Sarah. Or my personal one is Sarah Clayton Parrish. At Twitter, I'm at EuroFitSarah. And my website is EuroFitWithSarah.com. You can also reach me at email at SarahClaytonParrish@gmail.com. And I'll respond to any one of those methods.
And I know that you're a part of our private group, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System.
Yes.
So, Sarah, thank you so much again. It was really great getting to know you. I just love seeing the pictures of what you guys are doing and your smiles and just the fact that you are doing this together. It looks like such a blast. So keep rocking on.
Yep. And we will. We will. I can't. Jamie, we'll play hockey again on Friday at noon, and I can't wait.
Okay, everybody, that's the end of the show. You need to take Sarah's lead. So it's your go-do. Sarah, what do you think they should go do today to get them moving in this direction?
I think you should go buy a journal and write.
You know what, everybody? I'm the English teacher, and the athlete is telling you that you should be writing. I love it.
Absolutely.
That's the end of the show. Please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.